And welcome to the Buckmaster Show for President's Day, Monday, the 21st of February, 2011. Hope you had a great weekend. I want to thank the members of the Tucson chapter of the American Advertising Federation for honoring me Saturday night at the Fox Theater with the 2011 Golden Mike Award as part of the 30th Annual Addy Awards, honoring the best in local advertising and public relations. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at thebuckmastershow.com. We're live weekday mornings from 9 to 10, and the program re-airs from 7 to 8 p.m. here on KJLL. The lineup for today's show includes a newsmaker interview with Gary Pierce. Mr. Pierce is the chairman of the Arizona Corporation Commission. We'll talk taxes with CPA Michael C. Flowers. Then, what you need to know about medical hypnosis, plus a top award for a Tucson literary organization. Bill Buckmaster and the Buckmaster Show, primarily an interview-driven talk show, but there is always room for listener comments and questions. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 529-3508. Well, the Arizona Corporation Commission is investigating why 14,000 homes in the Catalina foothills and far east side of Tucson were without heat for up to 5 days during the record cold snap in Tucson earlier this month. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Gary Pierce. Mr. Pierce is the chairman of the Arizona Corporation Commission. Chairman Pierce, thanks for being with us.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
I want to talk a little bit about this outage that has a lot of people very angry here in the Tucson area. What can you tell us as far as your communication with Mr. Shaw? I believe he is the chief executive officer of Southwest Gas.
Oh, sure. I've spoken to Jeff Shaw several times since this began, and then and to let him know how, you know, to find out what they knew. But then he put me in touch with people who were closer to the ground, and then we had discussions about what we were going to do as we went forward, and took a look at both the causes and the responses. I'm not sure the company had any responsibility in the causes. We'll talk to El Paso Natural Gas about that. I'm having a meeting on Wednesday with a group from there, but we will look at the response by Southwest Gas.
It's coming up on 10 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. I have in front of me a letter that you had written to Mr. Shaw, and you say that a little more than 3 months ago, on October 28th, the Arizona Corporation Commission was assured by the major gas service providers for Arizona that they were prepared for the coming winter months. I guess that wasn't the case.
True, so true. We had a winter preparedness meeting, and at that meeting, all the utilities, including natural gas, had laid out what their plan was for the winter. And they do that based on 30-year, Southwest Gas does it based on 30-year history and what the weather will do. And that forecast can be wrong occasionally. Now, we know a few years ago, Southwest Gas had an issue down in the Green Valley area and also in the Lake Havasu City area when they had a particularly hard cold snap that had people out for a day or so, some for a little bit longer, but things can occur. But you're right. It's pretty perturbing to not be ready, and it's almost as though people buy into the global warming too much.
Well, one of the questions that you raise in your letter is, what measures did Southwest Gas utilize to ensure quick and efficient relighting process for its customers? And I think many of the customers are very upset about this because it took so long to get the proper people on the ground who, and I understand it is a safety issue that they had to go literally door to door, but it just seems like it took forever.
I know. That's what we're going to look at carefully. And I'm going to be cautious about responding before they've had a chance to lay out. We're looking towards March 2nd, an open meeting to go through and examine their processes. And what they did, was it the proper and adequate response? It'll be hard for, I think, the commission, and I don't want to prejudge anything, but it's hard to imagine that everything was done from a communication standpoint where people knew when they were going to be turned back on, and then also that everything was done to turn them on as fast as possible. Now, I say that meaning I'm not sure. I think maybe Southwest Gas with the people they applied to it, but I wonder if there's a program statewide or regionally wide with multi-states where we could share resources, particularly to have trained people, because they want to use trained people to turn people back on. And that's it's just like in a four-alarm fire. You've got every fire department in the neighborhood in the region coming to that fire, and you have the same thing when there's a forest fire or a brush fire, and all the responses you get from neighboring states potentially. I think this is one where we have to have an emergency policy in place where when it gets this widespread where you can't turn everyone on within what would have to be an acceptable amount of time, then you've got to trigger something else. And I've been thinking about that a lot, because I think we have to have a way to not leave people without heat for very long at all.
Gary Pierce is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Pierce is the chairman of the Arizona Corporation Commission. Did you say that would be an open meeting? And if so, would that be down in Tucson perhaps on March 2nd?
No, it's part of our two-day meetings that we have. There'll be multiple issues on that agenda that are statewide affecting. And as we resolve through this, it's a statewide policy. What happened in Tucson, remember Southwest Gas has a million or so customers, and so they affect broad areas of this state. And so what occurred could occur anywhere, and with some of our other utilities. So we're looking at policy that affects all these utilities that are natural gas providers, because what happened in Tucson and in Sierra Vista should not happen again there or anywhere in the state.
Let's talk a little bit about solar. A third solar power plant has been announced for Gila Bend, this one to be built by Tempe-based First Solar Incorporated. It will provide electricity to Arizona Public Service Company. And I should point out that APS and TEP, Tucson Electric Power, are required by your commission, the Arizona Corporation Commission, to get 15% of their power from renewable sources by 2025. How close are they to working toward that, Mr. Pierce?
Oh, they're and you know, you can call me Gary.
Gary, okay.
If that works for you, that'd be fine.
Had the pleasure of interviewing you a couple of times on TV when you were running for re-election.
Yes, and I think that what's happening with renewable energy, certainly we have a standard, but I think the utilities, with some of their utility-sized generation that they're going to do with various renewable sources, are going to blow by what the Corporation Commission has established as a standard, because the costs are coming down and down and down, and they're going to be absolutely compatible okay. with the generation we have now. The biggest issue always is it available to us 24 hours a day? And so as long as we have the natural gas backup that goes alongside that, and we have plenty of natural gas generation, and we are willing to site more of that to go alongside of a renewable, and in the future, the commission, as it's the makeup of it is now, are looking towards baseload generation that would include nuclear for the long term. So we're just trying to make sure we have the generation Arizona needs. But in Gila Bend, they're looking to sell that generation, purchase power agreements with APS, TEP, or electric companies elsewhere in the country.
Tucson Electric Power is planning to get power from 11 new medium to large solar panel arrays across southern Arizona and an expansion of its solar array near Springerville. So all of these operations are moving forward, I guess, should begin in the next 3 years. That's got to be pretty encouraging, isn't it?
Yes, and we're pretty well set in Arizona for the future. There's no question from a generation standpoint. When we do summer preparedness, because most of our air conditioning systems run off electricity, there are some new technologies that will be different than run off of electricity. There's a natural gas air conditioning unit that actually Southwest Gas has been working on for a number of years with a private company, another private company. But most of us rely on electricity. And you've not seen us go down in the summer, I don't think, other than a monsoon windstorm causing some things on a transmission line somewhere. But we've not seen us run out of power. I don't know that we've ever done that. And that's because we really do look at where we're going to buy it if we need it. But we have a lot of generation ready to go in Arizona.
We want to also mention, of course, the Arizona Corporation Commission watches over a lot of financial issues in the state. The commission ordered restitution just last week of over 100 investors who were defrauded by unregistered investment programs, most involving real estate. What is the bottom line here?
Well, people think that if they know real estate's gone down, we got to buy this and speculate. Well, these folks that do that and start amassing money find themselves in violation of the securities laws in Arizona, and because they're making an offering, and that's a problem. And they could be legitimate, but they're not allowed to do it. And when they do that, we want them to give the money back. And some people who are investors will come on and say, "Oh, I was going to make money and I was going to do something." And well, there's, you know, find a legal device to do it and make sure you're secure, because it's so easy. Last week, not only did we have some folks that may have been legitimate but they were in violation. For every one of those, there's 25 that are not legitimate, that are stealing people's money when they think they're in some legitimate investment.
So if someone feels they have a complaint, they should contact certainly your office, correct?
Oh, I hope they will. Let us you know if that security they're selling, if they're licensed with us. And if it's a security of some sort that's licensed with us too, that product is licensed.
So certainly contact the Arizona Corporation Commission. Gary Pierce, thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, Bill, it's always a pleasure to be able to talk to you.
Thank you very much. That was Gary Pierce. Mr. Pierce is the chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission. It's coming up on 20 minutes past the hour. We're going to talk some taxes. It is tax tip time already, isn't it? 20 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Back with CPA Michael C. Flowers right after this.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Coming up on 24 minutes past the hour, the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show, and guess who's in the studio with us? Mr. Michael C. Flowers, CPA. Michael, good to see you. It's a busy time of year for you.
It certainly is, Bill, and congratulations on what you're doing on the air, and congratulations on your recent award at the Addies. That's a great accomplishment, and really glad to have you still around in Tucson.
Thank you so much. That golden mic is indeed, the trophy's beautiful. It is gold.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's a really wonderful achievement, wonderful award.
Tell me about what we should be thinking about as we go to see our tax preparer, our CPA. What should we be organizing as far as our return?
I think that's the key thing, and that's the key word, and we call our document the organizer. And hopefully you're working with the CPA as opposed to just somebody who's doing this on a seasonal basis. And if you are working with the CPA, you should have received a package that had all the information you had from last year, which would include your interest income, your dividend income, your W-2 wages, if you have a small business, the Schedule C. So what's neat about working with somebody on a consistent basis is they have all your information on file. They know what information to expect, and if you follow the path pretty much from what you received last year, it's just a matter of gathering that information.
Were there many changes, Michael, this year in the tax laws?
The major change was that they didn't change the laws the way they were supposed to. They kept the Bush tax cuts, which kept the tax brackets down in terms of what they were anticipating. They also kept the capital gains rate at 15%. These rates are only in effect for 2 years, for 2011 and 2012, so all bets are off for 2013. And the feeling amongst the CPAs in general that I talk to, and nationally and locally, is that rates are going to go up in 2013, given the deficit and where we're at, that they can't just keep spending money without raising taxes. So the next couple of years, you should have a good run, but then watch out for 2013.
If you're a small business owner, what should you be thinking about?
I think for the small businesses, you know, again, the most important thing is to work with the CPA. We have the training, et cetera. But to make sure that you're looking at the really generous allowance they've given on equipment now. In the past, you could write off up to $10,000, then $25,000, then $100,000 worth of equipment. Now it's pretty much unlimited. If you're in a manufacturing or you have a pretty decent size business with a number of employees, now's the time to make your capital improvements, because the IRS is allowing you to expense as opposed to taking 7 years to write off your equipment. So if you had a $500,000 in a profit and you were going to buy a $500,000 piece of equipment, you pay no taxes. That's,
you know,
unbelievable.
The folks that are out there on the corner with
favorite
people, really looking dressed as the Statue of Liberty, come.
That's,
well, let's do those tax preparations. I mean, a CPA, you go to school, you have to be licensed, right? I mean, there's a lot of things involved.
There's a big difference between CPAs and tax preparers. As CPAs, first of all, we're required to have 5 years of college education now in Arizona. We have to pass a rigorous exam. We have to have malpractice insurance. And we have to maintain our certificate by obtaining at least 80 hours of continuing education every 2 years. So we're the doctors as compared to the nurses, if you would. We're the professionals that do this for a living, are regulated, have to pass the rigorous exams, and you know, that's all we do is do CPA-type work, as opposed to work in February, March, and April for somebody and then going on vacation for 8 months and coming back and trying to do it again.
It's not like Michael C. Flowers got off the bus yesterday here in Tucson. He has been in Tucson many, many years. I think you came to town in 1980. Am I close?
1978, yeah. We started the firm in 84, so we're on our 27th year. And really glad and really love this community, and really glad to be here.
It's about long-term relationships, your company, isn't it?
Our company is based upon trying to do as much as possible for existing clients. A number of tax preparers try to see how many tax returns they can do, and it's all about volume. In our office, it's not about volume. It's about the individual attention to each client, and we try with that client to do as many services that are appropriate for them, including their estate plan, including advising them whether they should set up an LLC, talking to them about tax planning, retirement planning, and we try to be there for every stage of their financial life.
1 minute to go, Michael, and a couple of quick tax questions as we prepare for our tax season. IRS, have they hired some more people to look at returns, or...
I think they have, and I think we started to see just a slight increase in audits. It's amazing when people think about audits that they think about 10, 20, 30% of tax returns get audited, but in fact it's less than 1%. And the higher your income, the more likely that you're in that 1% or a little bit above that 1%.
Michael C. Flowers, you are a real treasure for our community, and you do a great job, you and your team at the CPA firm here on Broadway in Tucson. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up now on 30 Minutes Past the Hour on the Buckmaster Show, we'll be back to talk about medical hypnosis.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Cheryl Castro. We're getting details on just how bloody the anti-government protests in Libya have become. CNN's Vanula Sweeney has this update from neighboring Cairo.
The death toll in Benghazi, we understand, now stands at 300 from yesterday alone. That city now in the hands of the protesters, reportedly, and the unrest has swept west to the Libyan leaders, Colonel Gaddafi's stronghold of Tripoli.
The White House is calling for an end to violence against peaceful protesters. Yemen's president is comparing protests in his country to the flu. He's rejecting demands for his resignation. An Egyptian man says he's honoring the role social media played in Egypt's revolution by naming his newborn daughter Facebook. Unrest in Bahrain has caused a major sporting event to be scrubbed. Bahrain is withdrawing from hosting this year's Formula One Grand Prix race. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Hi, Mrs. Miller. I have the cookies you ordered.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, you have 5 boxes of Snacker Bobbles, 3 Little Yummers, and your total is $0.
You mean they're free?
Yep, they're free.
Well, it's a pleasure doing business with you.
Free is better. Do your simple federal return for free at TurboTax.com. It's free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. No wonder TurboTax is the most trusted brand of tax software in America. Visit TurboTax.com today. Trusted brand claim based on Intuit Commission survey, August 2010.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. 35 minutes past the hour, I am Bill Buckmaster. We all have seen the stereotypical stage hypnosis who tells a very lovely model, just follow the eye with the swinging gold watch. Well, there is another hypnosis that is used to benefit patients seeking relief from a wide range of medical ailments. Dr. Stephen Gurkovich is the author of Hypnosis House Call,
a complete course in mind-body healing. For 38 years, Dr. Gurkovich has been a licensed psychologist specializing in mind-body medicine. He is a clinical faculty member on the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine, the program started by Dr. Andrew Weil, who writes a foreword for Dr. Gurkovich's book. Dr. Gurkovich has trained thousands of professionals about the mind-body connection and medical hypnosis. Doctor, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Tell me about how you got interested in this specialized field of medicine.
Well, a couple ways. First off, I was frightened by somebody who called themselves a hypnotist. And I found that this is a very common response from people. When you ask people, what do you think of when you hear the word hypnosis? Oftentimes the response is, it scares me. And that's because they don't know much about it. And I happen to be actually doing something very much like we're doing right now together. I stopped by a radio station in my hometown of Gary, Indiana, watching a broadcast, and they had a hypnotist on with some others. And when they asked the hypnotist, can you hypnotize anyone? He pointed through the glass panel where I was watching, and he said, yes, I can even hypnotize him. It frightened me, and so much so I ran out of there. And when I ran to the library, fortunately the librarian gave me a 2-volume set by Dr. Lewis Wolberg from the National Medical College in New York, and I discovered medical hypnosis. 10 years later at the U of A, I had panic attacks, and when I was told it wasn't a heart attack, it was just stress, then I had an opportunity to really put it to use, and ever since then I've been obsessed with the mind-body connection and how it works.
Talk a bit about self-hypnosis. How do you define self-hypnosis? Can anyone, in effect, I guess when we daydream, we are going into some kind of our own little self-hypnosis, aren't we?
Absolutely. I think a daydream is a good example of an everyday trance. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis. No one can be hypnotized by somebody else. That's perhaps the greatest myth or illusion or misconception about hypnosis.
So you really have to want to be hypnotized.
Well, or you allow yourself to let it happen. When we go into a daydream, we don't choose to daydream.
That's
but
true.
We stare out a window when we're in a classroom and we know somebody's speaking at the other end of the room. Our eyes are open. We're seeing, but we're not looking. We're staring. And we can stare with all of our senses. We can stare with our ears so that sometimes we notice we're hearing, but we're not listening. We can eat half a meal and discover half of it's gone.
And we didn't even know we ate it.
And we didn't even taste it.
Oh, that has happened before.
And think of how useful that is for controlling pain so that you can be undergoing a medical procedure and not feeling something that's actually occurring. But all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. And in all my years, and probably over 50,000 sessions of doing hypnotherapy with patients, I've never hypnotized anyone any more so than I could meditate someone. And I think that whenever somebody presents the illusion that they're hypnotizing somebody else, they really don't quite. They're taking some light poetic license with that, because it really doesn't work that way. We can lead people to it as long as they have the ability to. As long as they have the motivation to want to get something out of it and they want to experience it, that's the first step, going into trance, going into that daydream-like state where we shift our consciousness. And then the powerful part is utilization. What do we do with that meditative or daydream-like state of mind?
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Gurkovich. He is the author of Hypnosis House Call, a complete course in mind-body healing, and he's included in his book a Hypnosis Home Study Course DVD. And I guess you still do occasionally make a house call, huh?
I did two last week. I do them pretty regularly, actually.
Let's talk about some of the medical ailments that seem to be very where you have had good results with the medical hypnosis.
Well, I know that when Dr. Weil or myself are asked, what does hypnosis work best for? It's almost a knee-jerk reaction for us to say skin and gut. We know that both the gut and the skin respond very well. And that's probably because both the skin and gut are very responsive to stress. And oftentimes, you know, we're trained that if we see physical symptoms, we look for physical causes and we treat it with physical remedies. But in fact, 70%, the research shows that 70% of the visits to primary care physician are for non-physically caused illnesses, usually stress-related. So I would say any condition where there is some element of stress or emotional aggravation influencing those symptoms, those are going to respond very well with hypnosis. And then there are a whole range of conditions where we can't quite explain why it works, like when we suppress the immune system for transplantation of tissues or for anesthesia, for surgery. There's a lot to be learned, and fortunately new imaging studies are giving us insight into how this works now.
Talk a little bit about who should not explore, who should not use hypnosis.
I think anyone that has a personality disorder or somebody who has a serious mental illness should probably not be exploring it. We like our subjects to, or our patients with hypnosis, to be motivated, to be insightful as to why they're using it, and we want them to have a good reason for using it. And individuals that maybe have a serious mental condition like paranoid schizophrenia or certain forms of bipolar, we would not want to introduce dissociation to them for fear that it might actually have a negative effect rather than a positive one.
Let's go through how a session would typically work. Say someone has the gut problems. Well, let's take irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, one of the most common complaints that doctors will hear from patients. I would assume that medical hypnosis would be fairly beneficial to these people.
That's one of the ones where we really see excellent results, irritable bowel syndrome. A typical session would be I'd see somebody, usually in my office or clinic, I'd spend maybe a half hour to an hour really getting to know them so that I could tailor the session to them. The more personalized it is to them, the better it will, more effective it will be. And in that session, I'll find out a little bit about maybe where the irritable bowel originated from the type of stresses they're in. And then I orient them to clinical hypnosis, what it is, what it isn't, because most people have seen the television shows as you describe with the swinging watch and look into my eyes and such. We dispel those misconceptions, and then we go on to teach them. And it's not done to them, it's taught to them, so that they may have an experience. And in that experience, the first step is going into trance, shifting consciousness to be more relaxed. And then secondly, we want to, with IBS, we want to address the motility of the intestine, that peristalsis, the peristolic wave where muscles contract and relax in a sequence so that food goes through us in the proper direction. And with IBS, we want to slow that down. If they have IBS with constipation, we want to increase it. And we're basically talking to the in trance or in this daydream-like state. We have access to the mind-body connection. That person is in a state of inner absorption, just like in a daydream.
We're quickly running out of time. What would you like the readers to take away from Hypnosis House Call?
Well, buy the book.
Of course. That's...
I'd like them to basically know that really, in regard to healing and mind-body healing, everything they need to do this is really already within them. And the DVD in the back of the book gives them a two-hour session of what it would be like to come in. And I think the more educated they are about it, the more they can use it for themselves.
You know, when you think about control during the hypnotic trance work, ultimately, who is in control? Is it the doctor or is it the patient?
A little bit of both. I say more so the patient controls the trance and the experience of hypnosis, and the therapist or doctor is controlling the educational guidance.
How many sessions do you typically need?
I usually see people for one session off, and I make a recording for them when I'm in my clinic of that session. Usually lasts 1 to 2 hours for that initial session. But there are some times where I will see people for a few sessions where we have to do some deeper exploration as to where these symptoms came from.
I'm going to have to run here. Dr. Stephen Gergovich has been with us, Hypnosis House Call. Where can folks get more information? Do you have a website that you'd like to give out?
Yes, I do. It's called healingwithhypnosis.com, and the book is available through Barnes & Noble
and
my website.
Good. Dr. Gergovich, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Now about 46 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. We will be back, and we'll be talking about literacy right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Coming up now on 49 minutes past the hour, this is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. This year, Literacy Volunteers of Tucson celebrating 50 years of helping adults improve reading and English language skills, which leads to new directions in their lives, like getting jobs or promotions, reading to their children, and earning citizenship. Pro Literacy Worldwide, an accreditation organization for literacy programs, recently selected Literacy Volunteers of Tucson as a national model of success. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Betty Stouffer, the Executive Director of Literacy Volunteers of Tucson, which has been accredited since its founding in 1961. Betty, it's good to see you.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the 50-year anniversary, and this really is a big deal. You've been an important force in this community, and the need continues to grow, doesn't it?
It does. We do English language classes in 20 sites all over Tucson. We could do 40 sites, 50 sites if we had the resources to do that. The demand is huge. And the same with basic literacy. Adults who come in who are struggling want to improve their reading, writing, and math. We help with math as well, so that they can get a job, get a better job, help their kids in school. They come in for a variety of reasons.
And what percentage would you say, how big a problem is the literacy issue here? behavioral literacy?
We don't have a firm number for Tucson, but we have national numbers, so we just extrapolate from the national numbers. And we know that 43% of adults in the United States function at either below basic or basic literacy levels. So we assume here in Tucson that at least 20% of adults really struggle.
How do the people, they come to you, how do they find out about literacy volunteers?
A lot of it's word of mouth. A lot of people come in because they've heard from a friend or a family member. We have signs up in the buses that say, you know, free reading, free English help. Or programs like this.
Literacy Volunteers of Tucson really does rely on volunteers. And how does somebody get involved? If they'd like to volunteer, what type of avenue would be open to them?
They can go to our website, which is lovetoread.org, and what they'll find there are basic literacy briefing dates and volunteer orientation dates. They just need to call and get registered for those. That's the first step. And then once they've gone through the orientation and heard all the details, if they're still interested, then they'll be given an application to go through the full 12-hour tutor training.
How does someone function? You were saying 43% may be functioning without having the full literacy that they need. How does someone even hold a job? How do they write a check? I mean, it's mind-boggling.
It's very difficult. At the basic literacy level, people can read. It's the reading comprehension that is very lacking. So they might be able to fill out an application, but don't ask them to then have to read something for their job and do something with what they've read.
What are the root causes? I would assume that poverty would be a big one.
Definitely.
Homelessness.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, if we could solve the literacy problem, Bill, if we could really get everybody up to speed, we could greatly reduce homelessness and poverty and some of the other social issues that we all sort of gnash our teeth over.
Bringing adults into a program like yours, there's got to be an embarrassment on the part of many of the adults, correct?
For our basic literacy students, for sure. You know, trying to learn English as a second language really doesn't have stigma attached. But to come in and admit as an adult that you struggle to read, a lot of shame and guilt. And that's the first hurdle that many of our students have to get over. Some of them have said, gee, you know, I sat in your parking lot for a half hour before I screwed up the courage to come in.
When they do come in, what will they find? How does it work for them?
When a student first comes in, they're greeted. They have an hour to an hour and a half interview, which is really just a conversation, but it's a conversation structured in such a way that so we can assess where their reading levels and comprehension levels are. We work very much from a strengths perspective, so the interviewer always helps that student find some of the things they're doing well and what they can build on. So usually what I see as when a student's leaving that interview is they're excited and they're ready to start learning. And we now have virtually no waiting period, so a student can start the next day or within, you know, 2 days, depending when the next class is.
Is there a cost involved for the student?
No, it's totally free.
And how does that work? I mean, I understand that you are a nonprofit. You're not taking any more state funding?
No.
Why did you decide on that?
We left our state funding, it's been 4 years ago now, really to stay true to our mission to focus on the lowest level adult, those with the lowest skills. The state funding was requiring that we use standardized testing that was very difficult for our students and very difficult given that our program is all taught by volunteers. They don't come to learn about standardized tests. They come to help somebody learn to speak English or learn to read. And then the learning levels that we were being held to weren't hurdles that our students could make at the speed that the funding was requiring.
You started out as a social worker?
That's my background.
And how did you transition into this field?
I had been the executive director of a transitional housing program in Cleveland, where I'm from. And during those years, I certainly saw lack of literacy skills was one of the root causes of why these families were coming to us being homeless. So when I moved to Tucson and found this job, I was thrilled to be able to be working at a root cause level for a change.
The Tucson Festival of Books, one of their big beneficiaries, our literacy programs. Mm-hmm. What is your relationship with them? Tell us about that.
Well, through the Literacy Coalition, the Literacy for Life Coalition, we have a very close relationship with the festival. All of us who are members of the coalition, the festival allows us to have a booth there. So we will be there signing up volunteers and telling about our program. We are given that booth for free, as opposed to everyone else has to buy that booth. This year, for our 50th anniversary, we're also sponsoring an author, Wally Amos, and his book. And
Famous Amos?
Famous
cookie
Amos.
Guy,
that's him. That's him. And he's actually going to be in Tucson for longer than the festival. So he's going to be meeting with some of our students individually and coming to their classes. There, two of our classes are now reading his book in preparation for his visit.
And he had a literacy issue, didn't he?
He did. He was an adult when he got his GED. Mm-hmm.
Your learning centers, do you just have one center in town, or are there various satellite offices?
We only really have one office, which is on Speedway between Country Club and Tucson Boulevard, and it's a temporary location for us. A generous donor is allowing us to be there rent-free for 3 years, but we're about halfway through that. Most of our teaching happens all over Tucson, however. We teach in about 20 different sites for English language, and basic literacy, we do all of that one-on-one. So that is wherever the student and the tutor can find a public place that's convenient. But the basic literacy classes all happen in our offices on Speedway.
It's tough for the mom if she's not literate and she has children then or who are in school. And,
definitely,
you know, the kids are saying, hey, mom, could you read to me? And mom's too embarrassed. That's got to be a big issue.
It's a huge issue. And, you know, all of the studies that have been done about How can we make sure children are successful in school? There's many variables, of course, but the one that shows up in every single study is the literacy level, the education level of the parent.
Are we making any progress? You cited that figure, 43%. Has that number been, that percentage been coming down?
It's been staying pretty constant. That particular study is a federal one that's done every 10 years, and the last one was released in 2005. Didn't really show much of a difference from the 10 years previous when they had done it.
So that's not really encouraging, is it? And the problem continues to grow here in Tucson.
Definitely. You know, for those, you know, 1,900 students who come to us every year, we're certainly making a difference in their lives and in the lives of their family, but there is so much more need.
And 50th anniversary, you've got a big event coming up this fall.
We do. A number of events we'll be planning. We'll be having a birthday party open house at our offices on Speedway later this year. Our big fundraiser is in November, and the CEO of ProLiteracy will be coming to speak at that.
Okay, Betty Stoffer. And Stoffer, where can folks get more information?
At lovetoread.org. Or by calling 882-8006.
And there will be someone there to help them, I'm sure.
Not today because it's President's Day, but tomorrow.
That's right. Okay. Betty, congratulations on your 50th anniversary and with the Literacy Volunteers of Tucson. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay. We're coming up now on 59 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Want to remind you that the Buckmaster Show is live 9 to 10 a.m. here on KJLL AM 1330. And we are always on our website, buckmastershow.com. We have most of the shows, certainly over the last 2 weeks, are all archived on our website. Just go to the website, check it out, and they will be up for you to check out. And that's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.
This is Tucson's Jolt, KJLL, South Tucson.